Hey guys, sorry to interrupt our episode 2. Check us out on patreon.com. We have an E3 episode only for our patrons. It is easy as pledging $1 a month towards our Patreon. This will help us get better equipment, more information, other stuff like that, so that we can grow this show and our community as a whole. Thank you.
Welcome back to Rage Game Network Podcast. This is episode 2, and I'm one of your co-hosts, Deb.
Hey guys, it's Chris again.
And Andy.
And we're here today to talk about tabletop gaming. So,
on to our topic. We're just going to jump right in. Tabletop. When we talk about tabletop, Dungeons and Dragons, we're talking about... Oh, one of my favorites, D6 Star Wars, which was kind of cool. I don't know what else. There's Pathfinder. There's all sorts of other games out there. They're all role-playing games. Other tabletops, like board games, like we could get going on Ticket to Ride. Candyland, if you're really into that, if you get competitive with that.
Things like Munchkin and Carcassonne.
Card games like those. Mm-hmm. Those are great. Munchkin's a little bit of a card game / rolling game / board game.
Yeah, a lot of them are hybrid, kind of.
Yeah, it's very hybrid. We have Battlestar Galactica, the board game, which my brother's way into.
It's one of our family favorites.
Yeah.
Hopefully we can get him on.
Yep. If he decides to show up sometime. most of my experience was with Dungeons & Dragons. But to get into a little bit of details,
We're going to go over some basics about tabletop games. For those of you who don't play them, have never been into it, haven't heard of it, like Dungeons and Dragons, you may have heard of. It's the game the kids are playing in Stranger Things.
in the first version of it, yes.
Yes. It's a role-playing game, so you make up a character, and you make up a story, and you and your friends go through that story using dice to make decisions based on that. Vaguely, that's what you do. It can get extremely complex, though.
Oh, yes, very.
Oh, my God, so much.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that gets a little crazy with that. So, just going down the line, I mean, in basics, if we want to get into it, you start off with your dice. We got the D20, which is obviously a 20-sided die. And, ranging from, what is it, 1 to 20.
20.
1 to 20. And, then, let's see, you got your D10 or D percentile, because you usually roll it with a 10's place and a 1's place.
So your dice are used to make different decisions. It's based on those dice. Your D20 is the one that you're going to use most in the game.
Right.
Correct.
Your D percentile will be, or D10 will be like, say you're looking for number 1 through 100, and you got double zeros on one, and that goes all the way to 90, and then you got another one that you roll with it that is a 0 through 9. So that gives you your decision. You know, say
You open something and somebody says, roll a D percentile. Okay, I rolled the 36. Okay, you get this item instead of whatever else is on the list of stuff. Which, I mean, you know, that's all based on, you know, your dungeon master or your DM.
Or game master.
Or game master,
your game master, your dungeon master, whoever their job is.
To make sure your game is going in the direction they want it to go.
Yeah, they write the story, pretty much. Your dungeon master or your game master is God for your game. They write the story. They play the role of any characters that your characters might come into contact with, and they can be as involved or as not involved as they want. They could guide the whole game based on a storyline, or they could just let it go and change things as they see fit.
Yeah, I mean, you can evolve the game or devolve the game as you see fit as a dungeon master. I mean, I've seen a lot of things where, you know, I've played with a guy that is very involved, and I've played with a guy that's very hands-off. And I've played with the same dungeon master, and he plays it both ways. I mean, it's an adventure, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
What I was going to say is, when's the first time you were playing?
Continue.
Tabletop games or D&D or anything like that?
When was the first time I played?
Yeah.
Like I said in our origins there, I started playing about early college, late high school, like the summer of high school to college. We started playing Dungeons & Dragons. It was 3.5. I mean, a lot of people have their preferences on what... So, like everything else, everybody has their opinions on what is the better version of whatever game they're playing. Personally, I like 3.5 because it's way more involved. And if you can't find anything for 3.5, check out Pathfinder. Pathfinder was what was supposed to be version 4 of Dungeons & Dragons. Very, 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 very same layout. We're talking like there's only a couple of words that are different. Pathfinder is an amazing game. I mean, your player's handbook has to be like 300 to 400 pages long, and it's probably 2 to 3 inches thick, right? Oh, yeah, it's crazy. Because they roll like your player's handbook, your dungeon master guide, and like the monster manual.
All into
the same thing, and it gives you like guides to like start up a brand new campaign.
Wow, well that's really interesting. Cause like,
and the funny part is, I've never played Pathfinder, and I've always wanted to.
Really?
Yeah, it's on my top list to wow. play.
Is that, I'm probably just that part of D&D, or is that?
No. When D&D got bought out by Blizzard, or Wizard or something like that. I forget what company.
I think Wizard.
One of the two. Right. Who knows?
Anyways,
they made a easier version of Dungeons and Dragons. Well, the creators of the original, like 2 to 3 to 3.5, didn't like how they were doing it, so they went off and did their own thing, which is Pathfinder. And it is literally, you know, Dungeons and Dragons
just
3.5, but no, not even really a new spin. It's
oh really.
And it's D&D.
Holy cow.
Well, that's cool. I like that take on it.
Yeah. And those guys owned most of, you know, that stuff. They're the writers for that and the game makers for that. I know I've had a lot of experience out of, like, the three of us with a lot more tabletop than Well, I mean, most people, and then not as many people out there.
Yeah.
Just so you know, I looked it up. Wizards of the Coast is currently a publisher.
You.
It's part of Hasbro.
Yes, yes, yes.
Oh, they bought D&D. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, see, Wizards, yes.
What I like generally about tabletop games is that, like, it forces you to interact with other people, you know? Right. Like, you can't play it alone. You can't just turn on your console and see who's on, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
it's like, let's plan, let's meet on Thursday, you know?
Yeah.
Every game is going to be different no matter what because of the people you've got with you.
And right.
I just think that can make and break it.
Right. That's exactly the thing. I mean, if you take podcasting into consideration, we have to set up a schedule to, you know, record this. And, you know, it depends on how much time do you want to devote to this whole thing. I mean, we're subjecting you to an hour of our blobbing blah, blah, blah. All right? But it takes, you know, hours of time to actually devote to, you know, this one specific thing. And if you take that in consideration, you know, that's Dungeons and Dragons,
yeah.
too.
Well, I mean, anything, any hobby you're into.
Right, right. You gotta have the time. You gotta have the monetary part to it. I mean, you gotta devote all this to this one thing. And if you got multiple people going on it, which, I mean, if you're playing Dungeons and Dragons alone, you're doing it wrong.
I don't even like it. I couldn't imagine trying to.
Yeah, I mean, two people on a, like, a dungeon master and a player, I don't understand how you could even just do two people.
So what would be the recommended amount of people, would you say?
I've done as small as a three-person group.
Which seems like that would be too bad.
No, it's not too bad, because now you got, you know, one person bouncing ideas off of another. Mm-hmm. And then, I mean,
it doesn't know where the story is supposed to go based on, you know.
The dungeon master sometimes hops in as a player too, which, I mean, if you're going to do that, I highly suggest, if you've never played any type of tabletop game, do it. Get a couple of people involved. It's a lot of fun. You set up your schedule and you go, and just like unlike a video game, you don't have a tutorial, you're thrown into the mix.
Yeah, well, and that kind of that's another reason that having, I don't know, that's a con to tabletop gaming sometimes,
right?
Because right, some of them are just so wildly complex and like
yeah,
oh,
yeah.
Like, I mean, the one.
We've had nights where we were setting up for D&D, and literally the one night was just to set.
Just drawing up characters.
Yeah, just drawing up characters. I mean,
and the rules and all that.
Yeah, learning the rules can be the hardest part, but what makes tabletop games as an adult fun is the complexity of it, you know?
Right, yeah. Right. And the thing that I thoroughly enjoy, like Chris said, you know, it will take you a night, a whole night, to get through a setup on certain characters, especially depending on your levels.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you know what? Once you've devoted that time to it, to, like, just the setup, it can feel like, well, now I have to play, because I spent the whole night setting up.
Yeah, you've just invested, what, 3 hours into a character that hasn't even bothered to even get out.
Right. And then, you know what?
This world.
It's worth it once you do. It's worth it once you get into it, because it's fun. I mean,
well, we've had times where we set up a character, and then we just do maybe the first night. You do, like, confined within, like, a village. You just do a few things.
You
to get you kind of...
You get your intro going, you know. I know one of our longest campaigns, I know this sounds sad, but if you consider, it was probably 2 months, probably once or twice a week, we would meet up but there was nights we did an all-nighter, like sun up to sundown.
Who were you playing?
It was me, Bob, Jim, and Kelvin. I think you might have jumped in maybe once or twice. I'm not sure.
I think like later on.
Yeah. So, it was a great campaign. And we finished it off. We tried to extend it, but we put it at a solid ending, and it just never took off from there. But I know we were running our evil campaign, which, I mean, I think Jim, our dungeon master, shout out to Jim, it probably still has our information and characters. For our evil campaign, which got ridiculous because there was no structure from the DM. It was literally us going out and being like, fuck it.
Just evil, like free for evil all. Characters.
Yeah. Evil characters. Let's go to a bar and start a fight. You know, type of shit. I mean,
which you can do that.
Yeah, I mean, you can go to a bar. I mean, if you're really into it, try and pick up some chicks. But,
Let me ask you this. What's the most, like, craziest thing you've done with a character in a game? If you don't mind me asking that, because I feel like we've probably done some really crazy things.
One of my, I was obsessed with, as far as a character goes, I was obsessed with Full Metal Alchemist.
Mm-hmm.
Can't blame you.
Full Metal Alchemist, and I wanted to make a construct that was made out of armor, right? Yeah.
I think I remember this.
Right, and he ended up being like completely broken, like it. Okay. If you don't know the language behind that, broken, as in, like, he was meta. He was meta. In other words, okay, for Deb giving me a funny look, meta is, like, there was no stopping him.
Oh, okay. Like in a... So he's broken in a good way.
Broken as in, like, yeah, there was
like
no...
Like, it's not fair to play against this
Yeah,
game.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
In terms, he was super buffed, okay? There was no fortitude score, so therefore, like, for example, we ended up going into a room, and there was a dead person in that room that had been decaying and rotting in there, and it stank to high heaven. And Bob's character started gagging immediately because he had to roll a fortitude save. I did not because I don't have a nose.
Right. Oh my gosh.
I don't have a nose. I don't have, you know, that sensories to stop me from going in there. So it's like,
see, that's the beauty of this kind of game, is that like you can anything that you can think of, you can make it.
Oh yeah, if you got somebody that is involved enough to understand what the hell is going on, which I suggest, if you are going to start off, find somebody that already plays it, and they will get you started. Yeah. If you can find a DM, on the other hand, You to be a DM, you have to be a story writer.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much. You're basically making your own story and then playing it.
Mm-hmm.
And then seeing what other people's reactions to said things are. We've touched a lot upon Dungeons & Dragons here. I mean...
Right, this isn't supposed to be a Dungeons and Dragons episode.
Yeah,
but I think we all have played that. That's kind of our common thread.
Yeah, it's our common thread, and it's a fun place to start. I've played some tabletop games like Munchkin. Deb's played in on Munchkin, and it's supposed to be like a spoof of Dungeons and Dragons, but you get like a board game and it's a card game and you roll dice with it too.
There's a lot going on.
But honestly, if you play Munchkin, a fantastic game. They have all sorts of other like games.
There's different themes.
There's other expansions. Like, I played a vampire version of it. It was so stupid. It was funny because Munchkin definitely makes fun of like every tabletop you can ever think of.
Yeah.
Like when you pick up the card in original Munchkin, Duck in a Dungeon. You never pick up a duck in a dungeon. Right? It's just some random ass.
Random, and you're like, what the?
Like, what the fuck? Yeah, like something about a chainsaw in there, too. Like, it's crazy. And you get a leveling up system. But that's a great game. Family fun, definitely. A little weird. You'd have to get used to it. For card games, there's this one hellacious fucking game that is just, it'll drive you nuts. It's called The Flux, and they have different expansions or different versions of the game. Like, I've played a Monty Python version of it.
I've heard of it. Okay, yes.
It gets stupid. It gets really fucking stupid because the rule of the game at first is draw one. Place one, draw one. So place one card, draw another card. And then it can get weird because you have different rules either in your hand or somebody else has a different rule in their hand and they can play that. So it could be like draw two, discard three. You know, stupid shit like that.
So Flux, for people who don't play it.
For
who haven't heard of it before.
Flux is... it's madness, okay? It is a rule-making game, and you have to play it to ever understand exactly what the hell is going on.
Because the game changes every time, right? You play.
The game changes.
Like, you make up the game when
exactly.
You play. So, like you said, you start with the one card down, one card you pick up. But as you said, it's throughout the game. I mean,
yeah, play one, draw
anything.
One. Yeah, and it just goes off into oblivion. And then you'll get really frustrated because you haven't won the game in like 4 hours. And it turns into a Monopoly game where it ends up all over the fucking floor.
I was going to say, when's it take the plate?
Just tell them about...
Whenever.
Go ahead. I'm thinking of Carcassonne.
Oh, okay.
Carcassonne is a tile-based game. Carcassonne can last for hours.
It's strategy.
Oh, it is fun. It's very much a strategy game, and you place down tiles to make roads, to make castles, to make this, that, and the next thing.
To like get you your resources and grow your
right
area.
Yeah.
You know.
And then one of the other ones is. Settlers of Catan. That's a bigger one that a lot of people will understand if they've played it. That is a crazy strategy game.
I've never played it.
You get like three different spots that you start off with, right? Okay. And you set your piece on a corner of like an area of three. So there's like rocks, clay, wheat, wood, and I forget I think there's a fifth one. I can't remember exactly what it is. But you get all these different resources. Well, you roll the die, and whatever it lands on, no matter whose turn it is, you get that resource if it's that number.
I think I have played it.
I
would have played it with you guys, though. Have you?
Yeah.
Okay.
We've played it. And it gets crazy. And it gets very competitive very quickly.
Yeah.
Because after a little while, you build roads to try and get onto other spots, but you can only build on certain spots that people aren't, like, literally adjacent to.
Right.
So
you got to be creative, and you got to really...
Oh, yeah. And then the roads connect your places, and if you block somebody with your road, they can't build off of your road.
Why am I remembering that as Carcassonne?
That was Settlers of Catan.
Yeah, but I know. Right, but I'm mixing the two in my head.
Yeah, I can see that.
You can see the light bulb going off in Deb's head.
Yeah,
but the like placing the tiles. I know I did that. I did that. Yeah. I loved that game, and I know Settlers of Catan is not a tile game, is it?
It's kind of a tile game. I think you shuffle up how you're doing your layout. Yes, you've played both. I've played both.
That's confusing then.
Yeah. They have a app version of it, and you can get every expansion. That's and cool. I have it. And I've played online against people.
Do you like it?
Yes and no. I hate losing.
Depends on your mood, is that what you're trying to say?
I hate losing. Therefore, I get very angry and...
And we all know how that
goes.
It's
called Rage Game Network for a reason.
Andy definitely is a rager when it comes to gaming. And part of the reason why I won't play Call of Duty because I snapped a controller in half in my hands.
That's a true story, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah. $60 later, got a new controller.
And then we put away Call of Duty.
And I never played Call of Duty ever again. Well,
that's why he hates Call of Duty.
Yes, very much so. Let's see. So, let's see. We've done Munchkin, Catan, Carcassonne. Let's see. Oh, Power Plant. Power Plant is... Deb hasn't played this one. I think you might have played this one.
I don't remember.
It's another resource type board game type thing, and then card based. You buy power plants with either resources or something, and then you the more power you get, the better it is, and blah 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 blah. I've won that game like 100 fucking times, and it was awesome because it's like everybody gets frustrated that I take all the like the green energy type stuff. And it's like little cheat strategy. You invest in the coal power plants first, then you go towards the green energy power plants, and they stack up really fucking quickly. Whereas people are trying to fight over resources and nuclear stuff and this, that, and the next thing, and you're getting free energy.
I'm never playing this with you. Ever.
No.
As soon as you said that, you know what that made me think of?
What?
I was thinking of Chernobyl, because I've been watching this TV show.
Oh, God.
Sorry.
So, yeah, there's those... There's a bunch of games out there, and if you know what, you find something that looks interesting to you, get it.
Pick it up, yeah.
Pick it up.
Like, we've got Millennium in Rochester, and we
yeah,
I love going in there just seeing what's new.
Shit, I've gone to a store out in Syracuse. They got a bunch of stuff out there, and I mean, hell, like Deb said, we got Millennium, and it's kind of a godsend, because they have like Dungeons and Dragons, they have Pathfinder, they have all these different board games. Like, we picked up Battlestar Galactica from there, and that one's a crazy game, and honestly I really enjoy it. They even have an expansion for that.
I like Battlestar Galactica. We have to come back to that. You're gonna have to tell me about it. But I like Battlestar Galactica because it's not like there's you know there's, we just talked about Settlers of Catan and Carcassonne and Power Plant, that, you know, they're resource-based, you know, like, you fight over limited supplies and things like that.
Right.
Well, and, like, resources are included in Battlestar, but it's, like, that's not the main component of the game. Like, I like that it's, well, first off, like, if you haven't seen Battlestar Galactica, you should watch it.
The new one, not the old one.
Yeah.
If you've watched the old one, more
watch
power
the new
to,
one.
more power to you, because, wow, That got boring quick.
But the story is really good, and you get to play as the characters, and with the game, you make your decisions based on your character's abilities and the skills that they have. And you're just, I mean, that game really tries hard to screw you.
Oh my God, it is.
It's a fun cooperative game.
You know? And then there's...
So you're looking for resources, and then is this also something where you go out and like try to conquer?
Oh my God, you haven't played it with us, Chris?
No, I have not.
Oh my God.
No. Okay, so Battlestar Galactica? Oh God. Okay.
I've watched brief a little bit of...
synopsis of it is that you're humans from the colonies. Okay.
Caprica.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, but there's a... Yeah. Okay, there's 12 colonies, and I can get real nerdy about this. But anyway, you're humans, and you're from the colonies, and Cylons are robots. The robots...
Are the Cylons bad guys.
Are the bad guys. They're trying to kill you. So you... In the game, I won't go on about the show because I could for hours. In the game, you are trying to figure out if there are Cylons within the fleet among you. And
oh, that's interesting.
Yes. So you can be any character and also draw a... what is it? Your card that... It's not your disposition. It's your... your alignment. Your alignment card tells you whether you're a human or a Cylon, and it tells you
like how to act.
Yeah. So because if you're a Cylon, you're gonna want to sabotage things that's gonna help the humans survive.
Right.
Okay. And if you're a human, you're
gonna want to fuck somebody over.
And so like.
And you want to do it discreetly, so
it's not obvious. Right.
But yeah. as the game, you're part of every decision-making process because everybody is, in the characters. And everybody else doesn't know if you're a Cylon, you know?
Right.
So it's you win if you sabotage the human's survival enough, you know, that they die or will fail to thrive.
Okay.
And then the humans win if they can find out all the Cylons or they can, well, I'm not going to... The board game kind of spoils the show, so please watch the show first, guys.
In other words, you're trying to find Earth in the end.
Okay.
Yes.
You know. So
good to know.
Either you get fucked or you find Earth.
It's a good time.
Basically.
Let's see. Okay. So we talked about a bunch of different board games. We talked about Dungeons and Dragons for way too long.
But hey, it's a good start.
So, I mean, hey, like I said, you know, when it comes to tabletop games, really, guys, I'm telling you, go out there and experience it. You probably have a local store, game store out there. I found out there's another one closer to us. Here.
Mm-hmm.
In our neck of the woods.
Yeah, and I don't have to go probably 20, 30 minutes away from home. You know, there's a bunch of... look it up. All right? Try something new. They might even have, like, a free game night. You know, you never know. Try it out. I know that...
It's a good time. And then report back. Tell us what you think. Right. What your favorites are, if you've got them.
Yeah, if you guys have played tabletop games and you have a favorite, let us know. Which, I mean, that brings us into our plug right now. Remember to like us and follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Rage Game Network. Also, remember to follow us on whatever app you're listening to on this podcast, be it Spotify or Apple or whatever. And remember to give us a like. Really helps us out.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone.
Bye.